Missions is our topic right now for Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Nordskog Publishing writes, Christ's Great Commission commands Christians to go make disciples of every nation, thus gloriously changing them forever in character and reality by God's grace and power. Adventure results from the efforts any missionary makes in a hellish land in the messy work of Christian missions, end quote. And Rebecca Friday has written a book for Nordskog Publishing. It's called Great Commission Adventures. She has been a recent missionary in Latin America, and she calls herself an unlikely missionary. And she now joins us. Rebecca, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, it's a privilege to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Go ahead and tell us about your background and your own experience as a missionary. And in what ages or what calling was this? In other words, were you part of Latin America mission or, you know, whatever? Just tell us about yourself.
Okay. Well, I've been excited about missions since I was a teenager. And a big reason why I wrote the book is I didn't see that same level of excitement in a lot of other Christians that I associated with. And actually, when I was a senior in high school, I became engaged to a man who wanted to do full-time Christian work, and missions was one of those options. And he decided instead to go into Christian education, but I got stuck on missions. And we married, had children, and when my kids were a little bit older, with my husband's blessing, I signed up for a missions team at my church to Guatemala. And it was a pretty crazy experience. Bottom line, I came home with scabies, which was not a great experience. And I also...
You came home... Wait, explain that. Is that some sort of disease? Elaborate, please.
It is. Scabies is a parasite that I'm sure it exists here in the United States. But in Guatemala, they have big issues with parasites and various diseases that we don't have here. And part of the team mission was to help a woman who was a missionary to children who lived in the Guatemala City dump. It was the school, but also an orphanage. She took in kids who were abandoned by their parents. And I stayed there while my team took her out to dinner. And apparently these scabies were in the furniture that I sat on. And it's a pretty horrendous disease. I was taken to the doctor there and given a remedy and came home with it. But it's very contagious. You can give it to other people. And it's just an unpleasant parasite to have.
Wow. Okay. And so tell us more about what I'm sure the work was fulfilling.
You know, it was, you know, I found that missions it is not convenient. It's not easy. It's often scary, but there's nothing like it in terms of just adventure, excitement, and just such an incredible sense of purpose. I think if more people would, you know, if they're able to jump into the front lines and actually go and do a short-term mission trip. But it's something that I love. I'm a retired school teacher, and it's something that I've done during my summer vacation. And something that I just can't get out of my system. I'm sure there will come a day when I physically can't do it. But I think missions is amazing. You know, it's really the last thing that Christ asked his disciples to do before he left earth.
Now, of course.
And,
go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, going to say, like in Matthew 28, where he expressed the Great Commission and what his disciples were supposed to do, it was important to Jesus, and it should be important to us. I know that many Christians physically can't go out and do missions, but I believe that everybody can have some role in missions, you know, financial support, prayer, driving missionaries to the airport. You know, missionaries need a lot of support in many different ways. And I just wrote the book to kind of promote missions for its worthiness, for its importance, and for the excitement and adventure that you get when you do missions or you become involved in missions in one way or another.
Okay, now what did you actually do while you were there other than, you know, unfortunately contract this disease?
Well, one thing that I loved doing is it was twofold. We were there to help this woman who was running the school and orphanage for kids who lived in the Guatemala City dump, and we were there to help a widow whose husband had accidentally been killed by the police. She had like a dozen kids and lived in this small home, and we were there to help build an extra room for her so that she could rent it out for income. And it was wonderful. I have to admit, it was pretty scary. Well, we had this one experience where we drove through the Guatemala City dump, and we were told ahead of time that it was such a dangerous place to be that the police didn't even like to go into the city dump. But we drove right through the middle of it, and we got stuck in the mud. And it was just, there was silence in the van. We didn't know what to do, and we had no other option but, you know, to get out and push. But we noticed that this group of men surrounded us in the van, which freaked everybody out. But they actually helped us push the van out of the mud. And the whole, it was an 11-day short mission trip, but it was just filled with all kinds of crazy but exciting experiences. I came home and stayed home for 5 years, but after that, I started missions again during my summer vacation.
So how many times have you gone overseas, you know, working as a missionary?
Well, I've gone more than 20 times, I think 24 times. And most of my work has been done in Honduras, you know, which is in Central America in the Northern Triangle, and mostly with orphans.
And by the way, the really, you know, the great goal in the long run is to train the nationals so that they become the missionaries and, you know, they know the language, they know all these things. And this is the great thing about all the pioneer missionaries that have gone before us, not only in Latin America, but in Africa, in major parts of Asia, etc. So ultimately, they're the ones tasked with this. But meanwhile, of course, people from North America can help and support. And there's still, I mean, it's almost like the work just never stops.
Well, you're right. And I absolutely 100% agree with you about getting nationals to take over, you know, to work your way out of the job and leave it in the hands of nationals. I think, though, one really difficult aspect of doing that is in Honduras, maybe not everywhere in the world, but I know that it exists in a lot of places, is there's such breathtaking corruption, not only at the top political level, but it kind of trickles down into the culture. And both orphanages that I have worked at have nationals in place as leaders, and one of them is terribly corrupt. And the other one, you know, leans in that direction as well. So it's very hard to get godly nationals in place, especially in my experience in Honduras.
Wow, that's interesting. Why did you call yourself an unlikely missionary?
Well, because, you know, when I was in high school and I got this bug to go out and do mission work, no one would have ever voted me like bravest person in the class. I was that kid that you didn't really want to go to the theater with me because I was the one that screamed bloody murder during the scary parts of the horror movies. And they didn't really have scary horror movies back when I was in high school. So it was something that I do and I love to do. But every time I leave, I'm a little afraid.
Is God at work in ways we don't realize, as say, in Latin America?
You know what? He is. He truly is. I especially see that in the lives of these little orphans that I work with. I am especially associated with one orphanage in particular where I was asked to take over for the house parents so that they could go and have some R&R. And so, you know, I slept, you know, in the dorm with all the kids and became very close to them. And I could just tell you story after story, but this one little girl that I'm thinking of in particular, she was 10 when she came to the orphanage. And when she told me her story, first of all, she watched her mom die of cancer, you know, as a little girl. And her mom did not have access to good medical care, lived in one of the poorest areas in Honduras. So she watched her mommy die, and then her dad, who her parents never married, most moms and dads don't in Honduras, but her dad came on the scene saying he was going to take custody of her and her younger sister. And when she told me, I'm like, oh, that's great. And she said, no, Ms. Rebecca, it wasn't great. And she proceeded to tell me that her father sexually abused her. And then went on to say, the very saddest part was that when she started telling people, no one believed her. And but at 10, she finally ended up in this orphanage. And you would think that any child who had experienced either one of those things would have been a train wreck for life. But I saw the power of the gospel change all of that in this girl. She's 19 now. She's going to school to be a nurse. And you, if you met her, you would never know that she was at one time a very broken soul. She has a good sense of humor. She's confident of herself. She's just absolutely delightful. She shouldn't be the way she is except for the grace of God and his healing power in her life.
Wow, that's fantastic. Why are there so many orphans?
Well, interesting that you should ask. One big reason is I had never heard of femicide in my life before I started doing mission work. And what it is this gender-based homicide where a man kills a woman just because she's a woman and, you know, weaker physically. And it is the second leading cause of death for childbearing women in Honduras. And it creates a situation where UNICEF says there's a...
I need to explain this a little bit more. You're saying that there's a phenomenon in many cases in Honduras where the husbands are killing their wives, or men are killing the wives, the ladies that they are, you know, being with. Is that correct? And if so, why? Yeah. To somehow prove their machismo or something?
Well, here's the thing. The homicide has about a 5% prosecution rate in Honduras. So if you can get away with murder, you do. You do. And I was there once, and this attorney who also rented me a car told me that some woman had been killed in broad daylight in one of the main towns, and she said he won't be held accountable for it. He will get away with it. It's absolutely stunning. Their criminal justice system has completely failed the women and children in the country. And Honduras leads the world in femicide.
Femicide. Okay, femicide. Femicide. This is amazing. Now, is it basically, it's like, we know a lot of couples don't get along sometimes. Sometimes there's fighting, verbal fighting, that kind of thing. But you're saying that if they don't get along or the husband's tired of his wife or his girlfriend or whatever, he just can kill her and often gets away with it, at least, you know, in some of those contexts, including in Honduras.
Absolutely. The lawyer told me that the woman did not want to be with this man anymore, so he killed her.
Oh, man, that's terrible. Okay, now we have about a minute left, not even. What about political instability? 30 seconds.
Oh, corruption to the nth degree. It's just stunning, the corruption. And their president that left office this year has been extradited to the United States, where he's going to be tried. His trial begins next week. The country is called a narco state, and this man facilitated the drug cartels, and that's why he's been brought to the United States.
But through it all, serving God faithfully, even in a context like that, is very rewarding, as people can read about in your book, Great Commission Adventures. I'll put a link to the website for the book. Any thought in 10 seconds as a closing thought, Rebecca?
My closing thought would be, if you get an opportunity to do missions, do it. Nothing is more exciting and more purposeful.
Rebecca Friday, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.